It's a joy and a privilege. Oh, but most of all, a blessing to have you join me today on the Just Jesus Radio Network for another Battle Site for Christ radio broadcast. Oh, it fills my heart with such delight to be able to do this. Not only do I love the Word of God, but I love telling others about it as well. The title I've given my message today is in the form of a question, a very short question, an incomplete question, and hopefully we'll find all the answers as we go along. I call my message, What If? What if? Now, you're probably saying, what if what? Well, what if God really did? Did what? Well, the answers are coming up. So please stay with me. Let's have a word of prayer before we get into the Word. All right? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you for this opportunity to bring forth this message. I pray the ears of those who hear it, Lord, would be unstopped and that their hearts would be open and that the blessings would flow. For I ask and pray in Jesus' wonderful name and for His sake. Amen. Amen. Now, as I said, the title I've given my message today is in the form of a question. What if? Now, what if Jesus Christ had decided not to suffer and die on Calvary's cross for the sins of the whole world? What if? In His foreknowledge, now that's a very important word, a big word, but a very important word. What if, in His foreknowledge, He fell prostrate at His Father's feet and begged His Father not to make Him go through the agony of the crucifixion? What if? He could have. Oh, yes. In fact, He almost did when He prayed to His Father that night in the garden at Gethsemane. While His disciples were sleeping, Jesus, well, He separated Himself from them and walked a short piece off to talk up close and personal to His Father. If one man ever felt so alone that night in the garden, oh, try, if you will, to envision what He was going through. The Son of Almighty God. I ask you, could a man have ever been more alone than Jesus was that night? The night before the crucifixion? Try, if you will, to imagine what was going through His mind. What was in His heart? Wow. Well, the Bible tells me that Jesus wept when his friend Lazarus had died. I venture to say He wept also that night in the garden. Now listen carefully, the words that Jesus spake to His Father in Matthew 26, verse 36-39. Let us read verse 38 first. Then said He unto them, His disciples, all right, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. Then and go to verse 39. Listen carefully. And He went a little further. He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, O My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Wow. Now, what do you suppose prompted Jesus to pray in such a manner? Was he afraid? Was he having perhaps a change of heart? I mean, after all, his disciples had tried his patience o'er and o'er. Was this a prayer of desperation? Is there no other way? Is there no other way? Wow. Well, rest assured, when Jesus took on bodily flesh, he knew that this was the only way he would be able to relate to the great sacrifice that had to be made if mankind were to be saved from their sins. He knew that. When Jesus hung on the cross, he did so in a fleshly body, a body prone to suffering and pain, but a body that bore, and this is important, a body that bore no sin. He who had no sin had become sin for us. He took the sin of the whole world upon him. The sin of the entire world would fill his whole body and be set free by the shedding and washing power of his own blood. Once for all, never to be repeated. You got that? Once for all and never to be repeated. What's done is done. And aren't you glad? I am. Just think. All your sins, past, present, and future, if ye repent and believe, are under the shed blood of Jesus Christ for all eternity. Never, never will you have to worry. Because the day that you're in God's presence, you can't sin. But as long as you're in your fleshly body, sin will abound. But your sin will be under, is under, if you receive Christ as your Savior, under the precious blood. The shed blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, man. The cross, the cross, the cross. I've been asked and asked, why? Why did God's own Son have to suffer and die for a sinner like me? Like me. And the answer, well, it's so simple and basic. Because... Now hear this, please. Because he so loved the world. Because he so loved the world. That's why. That's why he suffered and died. Today, well, man struggles with a lie. Many believe that we can cleanse ourselves from any affliction, sinful or otherwise, without the help of an unknown God, they say. And I say to you, then why didn't God simply create a world filled with robots that had been pre-programmed to be obedient to God's will? Huh? Can a robot love and hate with its own free will? God does not program his children. He wants us to love him because we want to love him, to do it freely. Would we not be like toys in his hands if we were akin to a robot? Let us just say that you were my spouse, and this had nothing to do with your regular daily routine. But God designed you to do only his perfect will and nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing sinful. The perfect man, the perfect woman, he could have done this, But would that make us like robots or toys in his hands? Would it? Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, and we'll read several verses. Very important. Listen carefully. Starting with verse 4, "And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness." Verse 10, "And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good." Verse 12, "And the earth brought forth grass, and herb-yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit after his kind. And God saw that it was good." Verse 18, "And to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." Verse 21, "And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which that the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good." Verse 20, "And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good." Good. Verse 26, "And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Who was he talking about? "And let them," man, "have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Then verse 31, "And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good." Have you got that? Very good. God don't make no junk, right? No, it's man who turns it that way. Oh, can a clean vessel hold an unclean soul? Huh? Man can turn a beautiful sunrise into a misty scene of broken colors that betray the Creator. Man may curse a morning shower while the farmer elates for his garden. And man will be offended by the hot sun that awakens the beauty of God's garden. Yes. You see, I believe that God can do whatever he wants. God can turn an ocean of glass into a sea of foam. God can turn a child of the devil into a saint. Oh, yes. God is without limits. He's up above. He's down below. He's far off in the distance. And space is at his command. He calms the seas and stills the soul. But there are some things that God, are you listening? There are some things that God cannot do. Uh-oh. Let's take this in quickly. Can God lie? No. God cannot lie. Can God cheat or steal? No, he cannot. Nor can he, and this is most important of all, nor can God deny himself. God cannot deny himself. For if he did, then everything about God would be wiped away. Just that easy. God is anywhere. God is everywhere. He can see farther. He can talk in any language and solve any problem. God can build a universe or a sandcastle. But what God really specializes in is salvaging the human soul. Saving the human soul. Does God love you? Does God love you so much that he gave his only begotten Son to be a propitiation for every soul? Oh, he did. God would love to enlarge heaven. Why? Because he's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Did you get that last phrase? But that all should come to what? Repentance. How wonderful is that? Think about it for a minute. Consider, if you will. Can there be any doubt that if there's a heaven, then there's got to be a hell? Or do you believe that everything ends at the cemetery? You know, God's word is very clear concerning heaven and hell. Mark that in your book. If we look in the book of John chapter 14, here the Lord Jesus clearly defines what heaven is. Under the heading, the way, the truth, and the life. Notice first of all, whom the speaker is in John chapter 14. The speaker is Jesus. Jesus the Christ. Read, the way, the truth, and the life. From God the Father through Jesus, his only begotten Son. The greatest invitation man could ever receive, is the invitation by God to come up hither, to join him in glory. Wow! If these few verses were all that the Bible contained, they would be sufficient to show us the way into his holy presence. Tell me, friends, tell me, how is it with you this day? Have you really read seriously Genesis, the book of Genesis, in the beginning? Have you really considered the way, the truth, and the life? And tell me, have you repented of your sins? The Bible says, repent ye and believe. So a lot of people say, well, as long as I believe, what's this repent stuff? You know, I mean, I believe in Jesus. I believe he went to the cross. I believe he died for the sin of the whole world. Now, what's this repentance all about? Well, it's in the Bible. And it says we must repent. You see, a lot of people get confused when they hear the word repent. It's almost like a word they don't want to know about. You know why? Because it means that you're going that way, and God wants you to turn around and go his way. Now, it doesn't say, oh, you're going to be perfect and without any fault, any sin issue at all. It doesn't say that. No. It doesn't have to. What it says, what it means, is give your life, repent and believe, give your life over to Jesus Christ for what he did for you at Calvary. Now, is that so hard to understand? But I can't do it. I don't know. I gotta have my little toddy before I go to bed. I gotta have some fun with the guys. I can't do. It's too hard for me. If God wants me to repent, then He's got to help me repent. Well, you know, there are some things in our lives that we have to take on for ourselves. We have to have a desire within our heart to do them. And if you have a desire, like if someone comes and witnesses to you and gives you the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you say, well, it sounds all well and good, but I don't know if I can do it. Well, hey, there's a door open there, isn't there? Because if he doesn't, or he or she doesn't know whether they can do it, then you know what the answer is? It's a simple four-letter word. It's pray. Pray. Pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean you have to be praying as you walk about your daily routine all the time, praying, praying, praying. No, it says pray without ceasing means to be in an attitude of prayer. You know, when you see a downtrodden child or anybody, pray for them. Say your daily prayers. When you go to sleep, before you go to sleep at night, when you get up in the morning, talk to God. Pray. Pray. Always be in an attitude of prayer. Everything you see going on in the world, and it's not a very pleasant world to live in today, unfortunately, pray about it. God will bring the resolve. Now, I'm not saying God's going to stop what's going on. No. But everything that is going on in this very confused and rattled world today is known by God, and God has a timetable, I guess you could say. And things are going to run their course according to God's will. Will you be in that number when God says, come up hither? Come up hither? Will you be in that number? Huh? I know I will. And I'll be glad to be there, because that's where eternal joy, eternal peace, that's where it lies. And I look forward to that day. Like I said at the beginning, I've entitled my message, What If? What if? What if God really did? Well, God did. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what God did. He gave His only begotten Son for us. For me. For you. What else can He do? That's the ultimate sacrifice, given of your own, isn't it? Would you give one of your own children to save the life of another? Well, God's not asking you to do that. No. All He's doing is asking you to repent. In other words, turn to Him and believe. Believe in what happened at Calvary. God will give you the power. God will give you the strength to carry on. God will give you the fortitude to stand up to the world, to hold fast to that which is scriptural, which is true. God is not some kind of ogre who's trying to make fun of you or cause you to have all kinds of troubles because you believe in Him. No. God is peace and joy, eternal, unlimited. Do you love God? Can you say, I love God? Can you say, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and mean it? I mean, a lot of people have said it, but they didn't mean it. Can you say it and mean it? I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe what He did for me at Calvary. There's no what's, ifs, or buts about it. Jesus went to the cross. He suffered. He died. He bled for me. I'm under the blood. I'm under the blood. You know, that doesn't mean I won't sin. No, surely, as long as I'm in this old flesh, I will sin. But I'm under the blood. You see, I can have a conversation with God the Father, because when He looks at me, all He sees is the blood of Jesus Christ. Wow! Is that the way it is with you? Are you under the blood? Are you? I pray you are. I want to thank you for listening today, and I pray you got a blessing from this message, and that you'll tune in again. And stay tuned for the messages coming up on the Just Jesus Network. May God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.